All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, you and I both love Abandoned Spaces.
Yeah, a very good Twitter account.
Except for when it retweets things.
Yeah, that's true.
Why do they do that?
I don't know. Just like, bet you didn't know. You didn't know. Yeah.
All those, like, whenever I find, like, a Twitter account like that, that's just a, an aesthetic or something like that, they're always synergizing.
Yeah.
I thought that it would be nice if DuckFeed had its own abandoned space.
Okay. Okay.
So I used some Patreon money, and I bought this old marketing building that specialized in food mascots.
Okay. So is the birthplace of Tony the Tiger.
Yeah. Tony Tiger was born here. Like, look out for there's the afterbirth and the you can see the blood stain on the wall there. It was a difficult delivery.
Yeah. Well, he came out at full size, which was
it wasn't great.
Taxing.
It wasn't great. So over here you can see like some failed mascots, like your senior cashew. The ethnic Mr. Peanut relative that they tried to do for a little bit.
It's funny that he's Senior Cashew. I don't associate cashews with South American Mexico. Oh. I don't associate those.
That's probably why he never took off.
Okay. Because he was flawed from premise on up.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's just like, those marketing idiots. Yeah. I can't believe people get a degree in that. One of the things they would do here, I've been looking through all their old files and kind of reading about this new space that, is abandoned now that we're in it. And, one of the things they would do when they want to come up with a new mascot is they would get a can of mixed vegetables and then they would pull out a random vegetable.
Okay.
Because they've been mixed. And then they would try to create a mascot based on that vegetable.
Oh, okay.
I've got their big communal can over here.
So yeah, it's been here for a while, huh?
Oh yeah. These are some old vegetables, but they've been preserved. Like, have you ever seen like a can of Veg-All? That stuff's not going to go bad.
What the fuck is Veg-All?
It's a brand of mixed vegetable.
Okay.
A friend of mine used to eat in high school and be like way into Veg-All. A mixed vegetable is disgusting to me.
Yeah.
Even when they're not veg all.
Any kind of canned vegetable is pretty bad. Back when COVID started, I kind of panicked and I went and I got a bunch of canned vegetables because I did not know what the actual crisis was going to be. And now I've got to eat these fucking things. So
sure.
Canned green bean. It's shit.
Oh, that's rough stuff, dude.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I used to be okay with canned mushrooms, and now I'm not.
Yeah.
But that was the one that I was like, okay, this is fine.
Yeah.
And I used to have some canned mushrooms, but they're gross. Yeah. Canned asparagus or like jarred asparagus.
No. Ooh. No.
Like slime strings.
Yep.
Like the only canned vegetable I will countenance is corn.
Right.
As far as a vegetable. Because like, what am I going to do? I mean, like frozen corn is good, but I'm not going to like get a cob every single time I want corn.
No.
So I would like you to not wear a glove and put your hand in this old vat. And then pull out a vegetable.
Okay.
And then we will kind of look through the notes and see if there are any failed mascots for this vegetable.
Makes sense to me. All right. So, it's bubbling. There's kind of a fermenting going on here. Kind of a mash.
There's some botulism going on.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of abandoned pruno. like a vegetable pruno.
A savory vegetable pruno.
Yeah, like they do. Uh-huh. Something in a lunch or breakfast.
Right.
Pruno.
Huh. All right, I'm just gonna reach in here real quick. All right, so I've got just a palm full of niblets.
Okay, corn niblets?
Yes.
Probably.
Okay.
All right.
Corn, where do they have for corn?
Let me flip through the book here. Here we've got Admiral Crunchy. No.
Mm-hmm.
Over here we've got the stalking kid.
No. Stalking. Well, because of a corn stalk.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one.
Yeah.
We've got Parents of the Corn.
The prequel.
Was a weird one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the prequel. Here we go. For certain markets, Mr. Maize.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. No, that's an alternate name for what we in America, call corn. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, Gary, the game computer.
Oh, I'm glad you brought the pocket game computer.
Yep. I mean, I just keep the phone line open whenever we're doing one of these. Yeah. So the game computer can chip. Oh yeah. Well, you know, but yeah. you got to spend money to make money.
True.
Okay. Turns out there is an independent game on Steam called Mr. Maze. It's spelled differently, but okay, cool. I'm down.
Yeah. Are you down with this?
Yeah.
Are you down?
I think I'm down. Cool. I like how dorky it is.
Disappointed in you. I was like, oh, this is going to appeal to Cole's like fucking deadly premonition gene of like a game doesn't have to do anything except for be stiff and awkward.
Gary, I cannot change who I am. I cannot lie to you. I was very brought in by how dorky this was. I like how dorky it is.
How far did you... We'll get into it, but how far did you get? Like, how long did that last? Because if it lasted more than a half hour, I got to go. Like, I'm with you initially, but man, is this fucking boring.
It also helps that I like mazes. So.
Oh my God. Everybody strap in for 45 minutes of bullying. that's not the intro though. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. Caution, this product may contain peanuts, tree nuts, and or polygons.
Okay. And this week we are talking about an independent Unity game. Called Mr. Maze. This was it's a backer demand by Fenrelliania. And they said, "You boys like mazes, right?" And I think in discussions about other games, we both have expressed some kind of some disdain for mazes that just kind of like really get in the way and feel like padding,
Sure.
But like, I don't know. There's a part of me that. Like desperately wishes like to go to like corn mazes and stuff like that. There's a part of me that like when walking around Sun Electronics or Circuit City or any of those, I would stand transfixed watching the 3D maze screensaver on the Windows machines.
Well, sure, you're only human. Like the 3D maze screensaver is good.
And so
this is super bad, dude. It's horrible.
I don't know how horrible it is. I can't go with you on horrible. I don't think this is amazing. I played for a half an hour likely, and I got to the point where my character was whisked into the alternate world, who was captured by Mr. Maze or the Maze Meister.
Who is not called Mr. Maze for some reason.
Right.
Drives me nuts.
And at that point, it was, we only had 10 minutes before we started recording. So I needed to go and get everything ready. I would have continued playing if it wasn't for the show. So I guess you should admire my honesty here, opening up for the bullying that you are going to advance upon me.
I appreciate the honesty of it. I'm just like there are parts of this that are kind of funny and stuff. Like there are parts where I was like, oh, honestly, this rules. Like in the first maze, there's a Cyberpunk 2077 promotional poster.
Yeah.
And like, I got a big laugh out of that.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, why is there viral marketing for,
for a game
the
that
biggest
is not,
game in the world?
Yeah. That is not associated with this at all. I think that this is like the only thing that is in common. So this is published by Screen 17, which is
Screen 7,
which is the same company that published the Devil Came Through Here games, Cat Lady Downfall and Lorelei. And I believe that is based in Poland. So maybe it's a little bit of like, hometown, home country pride, You know, we're willing to put that there. It's also very goofy and it doesn't need justification. I laughed out loud at that too. I also laughed out loud at the poster that was up. That is just the X-Files I Want to Believe poster, because it reminded me of like a shitty haunted house where like they needed to decorate it. Like, we need something on this wall. Let's just get a movie poster for like 12 monkeys and put it up here.
Yeah. But I mean, the rest of these details we're talking about are extremely sparse.
Yes.
Like, when you're actually in the mirror, like I laughed at those things too.
Mm-hmm.
The experience of navigating a maze in this engine was very not fun to me.
Mm.
I don't understand how you're having fun with a maze, and I don't understand how does this like play into your relationship with video games? Like, when we do Doom or something, you're like, yeah, this kind of sucks. It's just maze levels with key cards. Why does that suck, but this is good?
Because this when is those just mazes
are created with more care.
Because this,
and you get to do things inside the mazes.
because this is just a maze. I can focus on the navigation here. Like,
the navigation, there's no like information you can get in it. There's no you realize like there's no intelligence in solving a maze, right?
Yeah,
like,
but it's
there's nothing to be good about. Like, there's nothing good about you that's being expressed by being able to be good at being a maze. It's not a skill based activity,
right? But also, like neither is Picross or Sudoku. It's just a fun task that you can do that feels good sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah. I think this is less. I found this significantly less engaging than either of those things. Like,
okay,
just doing a maze, and it's not like doing a maze top down feels better to me.
Doesn't,
no. You know, because that's also really silly. Because it's like, you just see the dead ends in advance. In this version, you just walk into the dead ends and you go, okay.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and like you go
happens
the other way.
Like happens when you're in a fucking maze.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying that sucks. It sucks a tremendous amounts of ass. Like, there's nothing to it.
This is also a $3 thing made very quickly in Unity.
But who, like, I don't, but there's, you can't, I don't think there's any refuse in that. And I think, I mean, you're the majority opinion here, because if you look at the Steam reviews, everyone's like, for $4, can't beat it. Yeah. I'm like, you fuckers, video games are free.
Yeah, I know.
Like, Epic gives you real video games every month.
Yeah.
Just for signing in, even if you've never played a game on it.
Uh-huh.
Like, it doesn't have to be. And when I saw this was part of the Cat Lady thing, I was fucking had my mind blown, because it's part of the Screen 7 collection,
yeah,
which includes those three real-ass video games.
Uh-huh.
And then things like Dumbass Drivers and The Adventures of Fat Man. Like, just like the absolute shovel-wariest crap.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, why this? Why does this get respect when, like, asset flips that, you know, Jim Sterling like loses his mind about are considered bad for gamers?
I don't know. Yeah,
I see the difference.
I just like a maze. I don't think that the price tag redeems it, but it's certainly a factor. Like,
well, if you'd spent like $70 for the special edition of Mr. Maze,
well,
we'd be having an entirely different bully experience.
I like just being in a maze. Okay, if stuff is shooting at me when I'm in a maze, if I have to get to a particular place and find a key and I miss that and I have to go and do the entire thing again, that is additional stress, that is additional anxiety, that makes me truly feel lost. If the task is get through this complicated space and that is it, all of a sudden that anxiety that I feel is lifted, and the actual that navigation becomes the task itself.
I think that for me personally, and it is, I understand and respect that. For me, you have to have more interesting mazes than are exhibited in this, and more interesting things inside the maze.
How many mazes did you do?
I got to the same part you did.
Okay.
Where you got to the other world and it started becoming really text heavy. And I was like, fuck this shit. I hate this. But the first several mazes are incredibly simple.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the platform maze where it's just like, if you can go up, go up. And that solves it.
Hmm.
Like, I don't think these were good mazes.
Hmm.
You know, and I don't know what a good maze looks like to me.
Yeah.
But I felt like these were not, like, it's just like, okay, just go forward and you just get to the end.
Yeah.
And it's real slow. There's no music. It's ugly. Like, the walls aren't interesting. Like, there's nothing like interesting to look at. Like, it's just really weird. Like, a very void experience.
Yeah. I'm also down with a void.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That could be what is at work.
Yeah.
And again, this is a well-received game.
Yeah.
I felt like I was fucking losing my mind when I started. Like, I was like, oh, this is going to be a funny thing that people trash. And then I looked online. Everyone's like, no, it's actually pretty good for $4.
Yeah.
And I lost my fucking brain.
Yeah. So the review that I most jive with here is Napoleon Bonaparte. He gives a thumbs up. Has played it for 5 hours.
Standing for Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah. Well, his avatar is Krusty. It's like it's Krusty making a fun face. But it gives it a thumbs up, getting a recommend, says, I mean, I had fun. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I had a little bit of fun in this too. Cool. Give me mazes.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this is the kind of, I think that I understand and respect. I think that it's sad that, oh God, do you hear that?
Well, what happened?
A Gatorade bottle I had expanded.
Okay.
Like I had a little like divot in it.
Yeah.
And the divot popped out. That happened to me when I was playing this as well and scared the shit out of me. Which
nature's really healing.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. Last night I was playing it and just like heard like a and I was like, oh shit, the maze mask. And then I went to the fantasy land where it was about like, you know, I don't even know. But I will agree that it is weird that there aren't other games that are just mazes.
Uh-huh.
So like if you want just a maze.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's weird that you can't get it.
Yeah.
I feel like I wish that you could get it in a way that wasn't this.
Mm-hmm. There are some things about this that are very unpleasant. I did not find a way to turn off the head bob.
How did you manage that? Because it's the most extreme head bob that I've seen in a game.
Like, yeah. It's so your main character, one leg is half the length of the other. You only learn this if you read the manual that's included with the Steam distribution. No, I looked for a way to turn that off, but I couldn't because this is incredibly bare bones. I solved that by changing the window size and backing up from it a little bit. So,
okay.
And also I only played it for like a half an hour.
I didn't like the head bob. I didn't like how slow I moved even when I was running.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was very frustrating for a maze, which I really wanted to be able to like, okay, I found a dead end. Now what? Like, I felt like I needed to be able to move a little bit faster.
Uh-huh.
To this, I wanted the mazes. I wanted to solve the mazes sooner. Mm-hmm. I guess if I was just taking the joy of being in a maze, like this weirdo fucking daughter, that he has, like this, oh, you're a fucking Skrull, man. Like you are the kids from this game.
Yeah.
And this game is playing the existence of those kids up for humor. Like, I think we are supposed to be weird that these kids exist.
Wait,
and
so
go
it's...
to this like scary, like junkyard.
So you, so you think it's weird for kids to have interests? For kids to have interests that draw them out?
That's
somewhere?
exactly the broad, like the incredibly broad version of the point I'm trying to
make.
Yeah,
no, it's exactly.
It's definitely
happened.
About interest in general. It's not about the fact that kids go from town to town following this guy who creates mazes out of garbage and barbed wire.
Yep.
And parents let them do it.
Yep. And also this maze.
And this one little girl studies mazes and was like, oh, that's one of the big mazes.
Uh-huh.
I know about the history of mazes.
Uh-huh.
As if it's a thing that exists in real life. And you're like, this is how the world should be.
Yeah. I also love that like wherever this maze pops up, kids disappear, but nobody's investigating it. Aside from that chav woman who's like, yeah, I'm gonna find the bottom of this, I will.
Yeah. That stuff I thought was funny. The fact that you're taking the series, you're like, we'll probably check out Mr. Maze's
yeah, probably go Maze's.
Yeah, go fuck, kids. Man. I don't care if it's made of barbed wire. Yeah, like, I can pretend to have a daughter.
I got a tetanus boost a little while back. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll just go like, you know what this is? This is you saying you want the theme park that Homer makes with the mattress thing. That's exactly the energy of this thing, and you're just like, this is good.
It doesn't smell in there.
Yeah, like, well, this isn't ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
I liked the maze, Gary.
I wanted
another maze. I'm disappointed. I'm not going to get to go to any mazes this fall because of fucking COVID. Like all of the corn mazes are going to be shut down probably, or they're not even growing them right now. So like, fuck, man, I'm not going to be able to do
that.
How
big is your yard? Can you make yourself a maze?
If I stopped mowing now,
mm-hmm.
No,
it wouldn't have to be a corn maze. I mean, make walls, like do like a maze meister.
Yeah,
like go down to the dump, get all of the grossest needles and, you know, sharpest objects you can find.
Just all of the rusty sheet metal that I could that I could want.
Yeah, that you can haul.
No, I
and get Chris to help you and make yourself a maze.
So I'm on a quarter acre here. I could probably do an okay maze as long as I had the material. But the problem is taking it down and then also getting the material.
What if you never took it down? What if you just had a year-long maze? You could be the maze meister, Cole. You could be change you want to see in the world for some reason.
I mean, so also, I don't want to do anything that causes people to come to my property to demand attention from me either. Yeah.
What if you put up those big camo sheets and the government thinks you're growing pot and then they raid you and then you have to explain this to them?
Yeah. Okay. So we have a podcast. Wait. Yeah. Okay. Do you know what Steam is? Okay. Do you know what Unity is? All right.
Yeah. Mouse, you know, and keyboards. Yeah. Yes. Well, I wanted to make one of those. What? Sir, you're going to have to come with us. Hey.
Oh God. Yeah, no, we're gonna need to put your brain in a fucking jar.
I like the idea of you creating a maze for Greta, like giving her treats at the end.
Yeah,
you know, because you could raise your daughter the same way this guy raised his weird daughter, you know.
I think the dad here is baffled that his little kid is as into mazes as she is.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think so too. Like, he's not a great father. Like, he's, the delivery in this is very like awkward and weird, as you'd expect from developer MJ Lovegrove. there are legitimately like laugh out loud parts of this where he just has a real weird delivery in response to his daughter. Like when his daughter solves the maze and just endlessly boogies, like that also get big laugh out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and all the like the side characters were all like horrible, like and generally not funny. The British lady is kind of funny, but like when you read reviews of this came out in 2019. The reviews read like they're from like 1994, where it's like there's lots of talking characters. What? You know, like there's dialogue.
20 minutes of voice dialogue. Yeah,
that can't be. You have to want more.
No, you need to.
You
can't hang your hat on that. I understand. Like, yeah, I get that. I'm not trying to hang my hat on that.
Why is this 4 gigs?
I've got no idea why it's 4 gigs. I just like
at its core, it's a maze game with a story.
Yeah,
you think?
It hits two of my major buttons, which are dorky and maze. You know, I didn't realize I wanted this until I saw it. But like, yeah, I'm into it. I'm gonna play this. I'm gonna beat it out of just to fucking spite you.
You know the speed run for it is over 2 hours long. Like, so good fucking luck, man. If you want to throw yourself in that pit, do it. Like, if you become the best at Mr. Maze in the universe, you're signing yourself up for like a Christopher Nolan length experience.
Okay, so I'm looking at some of the time played on these. So like, the highest one that I'm seeing is 9.7 hours.
Cool.
So I think, here's a 14 and a half. Like there's nothing that seems like super out there. I think that there's just a lot of mandatory story content that you have to see.
Yeah. There's no way to make dialogue happen faster or do anything.
Right.
Like
right.
I've never seen a more bare bones production. Like when you press escape, it just tells you how to leave the game. It doesn't give you an options menu.
Yeah.
Pros, has a storyline that is reasonably well presented in game, has voice acting.
Yeah.
Developer has clearly made an effort. That's literally one of the pros that one of the people put in this review. Zero in-game purchases, zero loot boxes.
Cool. Okay.
No
cool.
Season pass.
Good. I like that. Lots I like of that NPC we're applying with that to a $4.
Oh, Final geez. Judgment, buy it.
But even just like the back of the box, sorry, just like the description here on Steam, who is Maze Meister? What is the place he dwells in, and why is he captured Penny? But there's bullet points here. A lighthearted single-player fantasy story by MJ Lovegrove, creator of, and I shit you not, a 2011 game called Night of the Testicle.
Sure.
Yep. Yep.
And also part of the Screen 7 budget buster. and also the dumbass drivers, which he talked about, which has recent, you know, has mixed reviews.
Okay.
Or negative reviews. So
good. But it's part of a bundle, so you know, so you just pop that in for a little bit. 10 plus mazes of varying difficulty to beat, lots of characters to meet. Okay. 104 minutes of engaging music and atmospheric sounds. Very specific. It's 10 plus mazes. We don't know exactly, but we know precisely 104 minutes.
Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't say over 100 minutes.
Yes.
Like the Tim and Eric internet. Where it's like over 100 songs. this is, so it starts off with you just in this guy's like horrible, you know, Homer Simpson thing. And your wife is really hands off too.
Yeah.
In a way that's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into this place. There's a beef eater who is charging tickets. This is Mr. Maze, spoiler.
Okay.
I watched the ending of this on YouTube. Mr. Maze is the ticket taker, mm-hmm. Who's a beef eater with a black voice that I won't impersonate.
Yeah.
But it's extra.
It's very pronounced.
A little bit.
Yes.
It's very pronounced. And he's made this horrible, like post-apocalyptic, like all these assets that would be for Rust 2 maze. But then you go into all these assets that'd be in Two Worlds,
mm-hmm.
As you get sucked into Dream Realm.
Yes.
And I went into the Dream Realm and started reading journals, and the text was too boring and I had to quit.
Mm-hmm.
There's also animals that pop up.
Yep.
And the animals don't move.
Cool.
The end of the game is you chasing Mr. Maze. He's got all the students or all the kids he's kidnapped floating above him, and he summons deer to stand in front of you for a second to slow you down.
Well, there's a deer that pops up in the first maze, just an electro deer that when you look at it, it just says an animal.
Yeah.
Like, and very obviously a deer.
Did you get the Chivo for small animal, which is when you see the rabbit?
No, I didn't.
I found it while looking for the old lady's purse.
Cool.
You can find a small. So there are, and those rabbits are maze rabbits or whatever, which means that people eat them in the other world.
Okay.
Like, it looks like there's gonna be a crafting system for a second.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, but then I like looked at it and it's like, no, it's just you walking around clicking buttons. There's slightly more puzzle-ish content.
Okay.
Later, but really it's basically Doom without monsters. Like, you go get key cards and then take them to places. Bite your tongue.
Well, that vocalization didn't require my tongue. It just was me going,
No, I just wanted you to punish yourself.
Yeah, no, okay.
It had nothing to do with you talking. I just wanted your tongue to be bit. I didn't want to do it myself.
I wanted you to stop fucking embarrassing this outfit here, walking around like, saying Mr. Maze is maybe worth a look.
Yeah, it's right. So I think that, like, the best world in the world, there's a version of this that I would have been more sympathetic to your angle on it, and it just would have been smoother. Like, you would have moved faster. There wouldn't have been the head bob.
Yeah.
When I got to the other realm, it wouldn't have been as like talky and texty.
Yeah.
You could have skipped past dialogue. Like, mm-hmm. There's a version of this that is, I would think of as like the gentle budget thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And it pissed away that goodwill, and also had a little bit of charm, but pissed away that goodwill by being really unpleasant in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
To move around this maze.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, the thing that you ultimately, like, the thing that this ultimately ought to be, like, better experiences that are kind of like this, something like Antichamber, something like Cairo as well, which is far more abstract and atmospheric. Mm-hmm. Things like that. I do not know. I mean, aside from weirdos like me, I don't know who this is for or why this is the thing that it is. It's a very confusing product.
Like, it is, there is humor about, but they call this a comedy game. Is this feels more sincere to me,
mm-hmm.
than that, but also, like he's saying, like, it is a humorous, like a lighthearted, humorous storyline.
Yeah.
But I don't feel confident that I'm laughing at the things that Lovegrove is laughing at.
Right.
You know, I was looking up online at this. IMDb trivia. This is one of my favorite things we ever came upon on the show.
Okay.
Based on a simple 1998 video game concept, which simply read, guide a blob thing around a maze, Mr. Maze is a reimagining as a 3D adventure game. Based on a simple 1998 video game concept that was guide a blob thing around a maze? And then what? Was reimagined as a 3D adventure game.
Why 1998?
And why was that a video? That's not a video game concept.
No.
And then taking that and turning it into this is just very weird to me.
Yeah.
1998, like Metal Gear came out.
Half-Life
came out. Like, you can't have guide a blob around a maze.
No.
In 1998.
You know? I want more information. Yeah. I want more information. I want to play more of this game.
Do it. Do it, brother. Go with power. I've turned around. Now I'm into it.
Okay.
I'm into you being into it. He this guy produced The Cat Lady.
Yes.
And stuff. So he's definitely involved in that whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I liked The Cat Lady a lot. That was artful in a way this is not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I find this so weird.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. This is very, very strange. What is this? Dead Man's Political Party? I'm looking at this. Reality on the Worm. Zombie Michael Gower, led by Mr. Reaper, has decided to become the mayor of Reality on the Norm. Huh. Yeah. So like, just like point and click adventure kind of stuff is what he mostly did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of both humorous and non-humorous kinds.
Yeah, like he did one.
So, The Adventures of Fat Man is supposed to be a humorous parody of Batman that presupposes what if Batman was fat.
Okay. Yeah. Rich vein there. But then he made made a spin-off game with the main character of like those weird little Yahtzee point and click adventure games that are like Lovecraft horror kind of things.
Yeah. The Chozo Mythos.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird.
Very strange.
Fucking weird. And Yahtzee's games aren't in this.
Nope.
You know, like this, I don't know what this collective is.
No. Yeah. But like, he did casting for Lorelei and for like Downfall and stuff. Did editing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying this man has no talent at all.
Right. Right.
Like, I definitely believe that he has some talent. It's just very strange. Like, what is this? What kind of guy is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you met this dude, what kind of guy is he?
Mark started composing music for video games in 1997, working on small projects in school, and then moved on to write music for point and click adventures, many of which are freeware. He also dabbles in game design and film production. Huh.
The music in this is very funny. The opening credits is like the Shining thing with the family car.
Uh-huh.
And it has music like Jurassic Park. And then you turn around the corner and there's just a big pile of garbage.
Yeah.
Like, it is literally just corrugated sheet metal and barbed wire is what the Maze Meister has created.
Yep.
Like, got a big laugh out of me too and made me think maybe this whole thing was going to be that funny.
No.
But no, it takes it seriously.
Uh-huh.
Because this game engages with the premise, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. We're not going to see eye to eye on it. It's fine.
It's okay. People can vote text Maze to JG Greer. text no maze. It is very, I will give it that, it is it's very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the dialogue is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But it's so fucking slow. Like the standing, like when you show up at the maze, there's two people in line in front of you.
You do have to wait in line.
It's weird. Why? And there are all these cops who won't talk to you who are standing around.
Just waiting for somebody to disappear and they don't do shit when the electrical storm starts.
I felt like I had lost, so I went back to the beginning of the thing because I was like, surely this game won't just be about doing mazes. Like, my daughter's going to be sucked into a Silent Hill and I'm going to have to go do an adventure game.
Yep.
So once she disappeared, I was like, okay, there's probably some cool like House of Leaves shit happening. Like, she disappeared, the maze is changing around me, anything like that. And so I went back to the beginning of the maze to talk to the cop. Ultimately ended up talking to her and they started talking about how people go missing.
Okay.
In this. And then after that, I found the British girl who talked about how people go missing. And I was like, this seems Like, this seems very bad.
Yeah.
As an idea. Mazemeister's got to go.
Yeah.
You know, but then I didn't play the requisite 6 hours or whatever to actually show up the Mazemeister.
Yeah, to actually
chase him down.
To solve his devilish puzzles for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
His Meisterism. That's what he does, is Meisterin.
Mm. Yeah. It'd be fun if Penny gets to be the new Mazemeister. She gets to succeed him. Fun.
Yeah. She is really, she's very enthusiastic about them. Like, like she cites a famous maze. Like, that's a thing. It made me feel like I was like losing my mind. Like, famous mazes.
Yeah.
Like, so that 1973, that maze can be solved. And I'm like, this is not a type of person.
No, but you don't relish that sense of derealization. Like, I understand that's not enough to base the whole product on, but like that is not a pleasurable sensation to you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is. Like that kind of stuff, like this weird world where kids go crawl around garbage and pay, you know, $15 for the privilege of it.
Uh-huh.
Like, is funny to me. You know, most of my I'll blink. Like, that is funny, and I did appreciate that.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just reeling from the fact that I've been working with somebody who is that type of person for 10 years and didn't really put it together. So, like, I realize I only like it when I pretend scared.
Yeah. I'm not only in the house, but Gary, I think you will find the house is very confusing to escape from.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, like,
I got dead and I got to turn around. Exactly.
Ooh.
Is that really it? Yes. Okay, I'll turn around.
Yes.
You got me.
And if you get tired, I have provided you with benches and water coolers.
If you get tired, you can always wait until you're not. I know. It's why I work in real life.
I have not filled the maze with any dangers.
This is surprisingly this is basically just like walking through an area I don't know. Like, I could simulate this by going to a neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna start blindfolding you and then turning you around three times before you go to the kitchen.
Okay.
And it's gonna be like living this game.
Well, so it's very funny because, like, in actuality, being lost is one of the scariest things to me. You know, like, I get anxious if I'm in a place and I do not know how to get back to safe ground, right?
Of course.
But playing around with that in a game is fine. Remember when we went to the so the last year that the haunted house under the hockey arena in Portland was good?
Yes.
Yeah. So you remember that, and they had like that one little area off to the side that was like the completely dark and silent maze?
Yes.
That intellectually, I think that would be amazing, but going in there, there's not enough Xanax in the world to make that happen, because that is both like an agoraphobia trigger and a claustrophobia trigger, weirdly enough.
Yeah. I guess I understand that, but that is at least a trigger.
Yes.
You know, like, at least I feel like that would move a needle,
mm-hmm,
in terms of interest. And like, when I think about mazes in haunted houses, I'm not against that. That can be very fun for me because, mm-hmm, they're short and there's incident.
Yes.
I just need incident. You know, again, activity cuck. Reporting for duty. Like, I just need there to be an angle of interest.
Uh-huh.
You know? Like I don't, like, walking sims can't just be walking.
No. Nope.
Like, that's a derisive name, but really they're narrative games where you learn a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you put like a narrative into this maze, maybe. You know, if you did like Dear Esther, but it was mazes, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, that might work for me. Like, or like, maybe like, if I was walking around a maze, I'd probably be listening to a podcast.
Maybe.
You know, which I guess I could play this game and listen to a podcast, but like.
Maybe. I don't know. But there's also, I mean, there's a benefit to being there. You know, like, there is the sense of, I am here and I am doing the walking and I am in the space and navigating it, as opposed to, you know, playing the actual game. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that, like, if there was, let's say the Mazemeister showed up,
okay,
and he brought his maze to Portland, Oregon, I probably would do it for the novelty.
Yeah.
Like, of just going and doing, like, I've been through a corn maze, but to me, the corn maze part of it, like, well, I've been to a haunted corn maze, not a regular Dalkorn Maze. And the cool thing is mixing up that feeling of being kind of lost and navigating it and kind of tricking your brain, the suspicious haunted house part of your brain, into shutting down. Yeah. So when the haunted house stuff happens, you're surprised because you've been, you know, distracted. It's like rubbing your head and, you know, patting your belly at the same time or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's just like, oh, this kind of threw me out. I think I would do it just to do the maze, but I can't, like, the fandom is the hard thing that's for me to imagine.
Well, yeah, you know? Anything with a fandom is going to be bad, or the fandom is going to be not the best thing about it. So
just very strange.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I don't know. There's a site called, you know, one of the most disappointing websites I've ever been to. It's like labyrinthlocators.com or whatever. But the problem is, like, there's an option. Yeah, exactly. So there are searches, like there are entries for actual mazes. Mostly though, it is for like the flat labyrinths that are just a convoluted way to walk the maximum distance in a small space. That are mostly out back of like monasteries and stuff like that, as like meditation walk kind of things, which those are fine, but that's not what I want. What I want is, you know, what I want is the hedge maze from The Shining. That's all that I need.
Yeah. I can get down with a hedge maze, but I can't imagine my appetite being stronger than like doing like a hedge maze.
Right.
You know, just like going hedge maze to hedge maze. Those flat things, those things suck.
Yeah.
We have one of those at the college I used to work at. It's like, oh, cool, there's a labyrinth. And it's like, that's not a labyrinth.
Yeah.
What the fuck? It's not even close.
You know? Bite your tongue.
That's a pattern on the ground.
It's a lie.
That's street art.
Yeah.
Like that's just, you know, stuff on the ground.
Yeah.
It's a pattern of bricks.
But there is a place called, or there's a site called mazeplay.com, which will help locate corn mazes. Which is fun. And then there is the Labyrinth Society, where you can do other searches and you can see news from Gary. They have a podcast. There's a podcast about labyrinths. Many paths, many visions. Okay.
You're going to leave me. man, it just, I know that in terms of you and I on the network, like I am the bully, but I think that my bully status is tempered by the fact that like between me and Will is clearly the bully. So I'm mid-range bully. I'm not a full bully,
right?
But there's something about this that is activating all of my bully genes, like that Simpsons where they have the scent.
Yeah. What is Poindextrose or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah. I am smelling so much Poindextrose about this that I have to go like review bomb that podcast. Like
they've rounded a corner. It's not a dead end. What they walked into was a world of shit. Here comes Butterfield.
This is just, it is literally just activating all of my like Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds like feelings right now.
Yeah. Hey, what's funny is you're not hurting my feelings at all.
Why aren't there puzzles in the fucking maze? you can just ask for a little bit more.
Bring a fucking Rubik's Cube.
I can play Game Boy while walking in the maze too.
Yeah.
Or I could play Game Boy.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just, like, why aren't there riddles? Why aren't there branching paths? Like, the dude, like, I just, there's so much ceiling. It's like an infinite ceiling. And this is skimming the surface. This is, you gotta go under the water, man.
Because sometimes walking alone and being lost is enough. Why are you going fucking hiking? All these assholes are out there in the woods. There's not a road there, you dummy. There are no food carts there. What the fuck are you doing?
Like,
here's a creek. What? Like shitty water that's outside and has like fish shitting that's and beautiful. Fucking in it? Like degenerates?
You know, nature is more beautiful than this corrugated sheet metal nightmare that this game has you going through.
Gary,
or the sides of corn, which I have walked through and are not that impressive.
Gary, there's beauty everywhere. Okay.
I don't know. I don't
open your fucking eyes to the world around you.
The plywood maze that you're going to make in your backyard is not beautiful, Ross.
Yeah, no.
And there's no beauty in plywood. There's no beauty in plywood.
Well, it depends where you get it. So.
You could paint it with something, and then you're in a gallery, and then I'm on board again.
Yeah, yeah.
Hedge Maze Gallery. Put at the end, every dead end has a painting.
Uh-huh.
Bam.
Yeah.
incident.
Okay, there you go. So you can look at the paintings like some kind of dipshit, and I'm going to be out here enjoying the purity of the maze.
Yeah, the purity. This is like ordering flour at a restaurant. Don't make it into bread, please.
Yes, I'll have the ingredients of a birthday cake if you will.
Yeah. Can I have one raw egg and some flour, please? No sugar. And then just eating that and being like, this is pure. It'll turn into cake in my belly.
Yep.
This will transform into fun inside my brain.
It will, Gary. It fucking will.
I know it will.
Oh man. This is satisfying. I can't remember the last time this happened.
I wasn't expecting it either. I was all ready to talk about pudding.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Cole will hate this too, and then we could talk about pudding. Nope.
Nope.
So all you pudding hounds out there, you're gonna have to wait.
Yep.
You pee hounds. Pudding hounds in this case.
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
Yeah. People saying the story is great.
No, the story's so fucking bad.
It's really all that
you're giving a thumbs up on the story is one present, and like, no, yeah. Like, there doesn't need to be a story here. Like, like all Mr. Maze should do is occasionally pop in to taunt you because you're doing a bad job at the maze.
I really wanted Mr. Maze to be a bigger part of the beginning of this game.
Yes.
Because the idea of Mr. Maze, like, is there a bigger gulf between the reality of something and the cover of something than Mr. Maze? Look how scary the cover is.
The cover's great. I love the cover.
Yeah, it's great. Like, it's very, like, it looks very sinister and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you'd be mistaken if you thought sinister and interesting things were going to happen in this game.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a land and you kick some rocks.
Right.
I did get some joy out of the fact that when you activate the magic portals, or the magic beacons in the land, you do it by kicking them. So just like press enter to kick. But also, why do you make a Mouse and WASD game where enter is your interact button?
Yeah, that's really dumb.
Why do you make
it something
I can't
hit
with my left hand?
Yeah.
Love Grove.
Yeah. Reaching over, touching the fucking enter key. Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that can be fun in and of itself. Reaching over is a journey that you, like, I had to move my hand over.
You know that's different.
I know. I'm sorry. I crossed the line.
Gary, you diminish yourself. You diminish yourself by swinging this wildly. Like
when you said that I was going up against kids being interested in things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was reasonable, but this is diminishing.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha.
I don't make the rules. I just enforce them, buddy.
Okay, Mr. Maze. I'm gonna be Mr. Maze who controls the mystery.
Do you think Penny wants to be rescued? She's really into the mazes. I think that this is actually like she has been brought into her element. She has found her people here.
Yeah. It for a moment I was like, these are very supportive, good parents.
Right.
But then the dad was kind of a dick.
Right.
You know, so I was charmed at least a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. I like when you have a nerdy kid in a piece of media where there's nothing physically wrong with them. Because a lot of times, like, you would be like, oh, this kid's in, like, they like mazes because they're in a wheelchair, or like they like mazes because they're the fat unpopular kid or something.
Right, right.
No, she just looks like, you know, like
just
a normal kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty rare that you see that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like especially in like 80s movies where they would have this be like a pretty consistent trope. You'd at least have like a big pair of like Coke bottle glasses.
Yeah, yeah. Some kind of therapeutic shoe. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. I just decoupling strange cares from physical difficulties is a good and positive thing.
Yeah, I like that. Like, you can be eccentric without being ugly.
Yes.
And that's something that media does not always do. I've turned around. Now I love it.
Okay. It's good. It's good now.
Mr. Maze. Yeah, this is a real surprise of an episode.
Yeah.
So, friend Reliana. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. I had no idea this existed.
Yep. Thank you for providing Cole's Game of the Year 2019.
What is the Samaritan Paradox?
This actually, in a serious way,
okay.
And I'm not expecting you to agree with me or anything on this, but this did make me feel like this publisher, like, made me think this publisher, like, I don't trust the publisher.
No, God, anymore. No. Yeah. Like, I didn't trust the publisher the first time I saw the splash logo or the splash screen in front of the cat lady. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is kind of dumb.
It's rough stuff. Yeah. But this, you know, to me, it's like the Samaritan Paradox, you know, which I'm looking at, which is like a point and click adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
Like now by making Mr. Maze and then, you know, making Fat Man and Drunk Drivers or Dumb Drivers rather, is now it's like, I don't know if this is going to be the, what screen seven am I getting?
Right. Right. You know, like I cannot like assume this is going to be anything close to like the Cat Lady or, you know, any of those Devil Came like, Through Your Games.
Be down for another Cat Lady, and we'll play those like the sequel and prequel at some point and enjoy them, I'm sure. But I wouldn't, I'm not just on board for whatever the steez is, because like, the steez was pretty off putting to me. And, Dumb Drivers looks pretty Herangulon if you, you take a look at, or Dumbass Drivers, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some rough stuff.
I'm depressed that, that Night of the Testicle. Oh, Night of the Testicle, Day of the Tentacle. Okay, I get it. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Night of the Testicle is not in this. So.
Me trying to search Night of the Testicle just brought up a bunch of search results for testicular torsion.
Ooh. Like happened in Venture Brothers?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Just you know, Love Grove. Because I want to see some Night of the Testicle action here.
I can drop you.
Nope.
What?
Yeah, drop me a link. Because there's the Moby Games. So there's the you play as the testicle.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Night of the Testicle is a comedy adventure game that parodies various point and click and movie franchises. Cool. The game revolves around your average testicle as he discovers someone is trying to destroy his home city.
His home city of Sack? Is Sacksville? Yeah. Like the Sacksville Ballingtons?
Sorry, he has made the game to celebrate 10 years of using the popular engine Adventure Game Studio. So it's not like it's not like for the anniversary of Adventure Game Studio. It's like, oh, I've been using this
anniversary of him using it.
Yeah. The anniversary of my first download.
I can't wait for you and I to record the anniversary of me first downloading Audacity. The special event.
That already happened.
That's true.
It is a sequel to Lovegrove's test game, Day of the Testicle, which was released in early 2002. This game features strong language and silly puzzles, but there is no sexual imagery. Aside from the ball that walks and talks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's non-sexual, though. That's just biological.
Right. Yeah. That's just what happens when a ball gets lonely.
Yeah. They're like free spirits in Shadowrun. Like, that's just what happens if it loses, the master loses control. It becomes a being of unimaginable power, and you better watch out, Chummer.
I'm glad
my balls aren't sentient.
Yeah, same.
It'd be rough for them and me and you.
Yeah, everybody involved. Yeah.
And no point would that be good.
No. We need,
I think that they would, like the fact that I got that vasectomy, like they're probably being cut off from some kind of food group that they need, like a Crunchly Neglected, you know, now that they're no longer getting semen and they're just getting nothing. Like they're making semen, but it's going nowhere.
I have no vas deferens and I'm a squirt. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a stream.
I don't care for that one bit. Gary, we need to be done.
You're just mad at me.
I'm not mad at you.
I think that earlier in the episode, Cole would have followed this. I know we've been recording for a while.
Yeah, this is not the first thing we've recorded, and we've gone over time.
It's not the last thing we've recorded either.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. If you like the show, so thank you, Fenrelli Anna. We appreciate you. If you're listening to this, we appreciate you. Is this a public or a private?
This is a public.
So everybody, if you're listening to this, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah, you get extra episodes of this show. You get whole other bonus shows like Unfilmable or Bonfireside Chat or Premium Wafts. And if you give $10, you get access to coming up on damn near 100 bonus episodes of Abject Suffering.
Yeah, this episode will make more sense in the context of the entire show.
Yeah.
If this is your first episode, it's not generally like this.
Yeah. Although generally you are pretty mean to me as it goes. So,
well, I am a bully, but again, I'm a mid-range bowl.
Right, right.
So there's a scale.
But the thing is, when I get on the mic with you and Will, I immediately side with him and focus fire on you.
Yeah. Like, well, of course you do, because it's like the circle of violence.
Yeah.
But like, this is only shows where it's me and you am I the bully, because Jeremy bullies me a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
So the pecking order probably goes Will, Jeremy, me, you. And then if you team up with either of them, though, like it's really easy to take me out.
I don't know what this is, because like I don't bully people on the level or radio for you. Like I don't bully people when I'm with them.
Like, well, those shows that don't have that kind of dynamic.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's that guppy energy that's leaked into the entire network.
Yeah, I know. It broke containment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, if you want to hear more of that energy, go to everythingtoguppy.cat.
Yeah.
Origins, bully origins.
And until next time, and don't forget to pass the bottle.